Happy Mother's Day weekend to all you moms out there. It's great to be able to celebrate together. Hey, we are in the third week of a spring sermon series, actually talking about the Holy Spirit, just what Brenda and Jackson were referencing. If God has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what we refer to as the Trinity, we're asking, like, who is this Holy Spirit and what does he do? This series is a fun one to explore together, particularly because, you know, the Vineyard's made up of a bunch of different people from a bunch of different backgrounds. I mean, you might be brand new to attending church, and sometimes folks get worried about being the only new person in church, but maybe you can be comforted by the fact that on any given weekend, there might be upwards of almost like 100 people here at the Vineyard that are like brand new to church or wouldn't even consider themselves like a follower of Jesus at this time. And so even as we're going through this series, if you don't have any idea what you think about the Holy Spirit, this is brand new to you, like you're not the only one in that boat, and we're so glad to have you here and exploring this together. For those of you who may have come from more of a background in church, and up to this point, however, maybe you haven't had a lot of experience or understanding about this thing about the Holy Spirit. Often that's times because of the church traditions you've been a part of, maybe didn't talk a lot about that or give a lot of emphasis to that. Yet others of you maybe have had experience in churches that did talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes those can be really great, and then other times those can be, you know, maybe a little confusing or even a little weird. And so we can kind of try and figure out, like, what is this Holy Spirit stuff all about? And so many different kinds of experiences everywhere in between. I was thinking about just even my own journey. A lot over these last couple weeks in prepping for this message, my journey of learning about the Holy Spirit and beginning to experience the Holy Spirit. I grew up in Northwest Iowa, and from very early age, my family was a church-going family, small-town Lutheran church, and so I had a church background. And I began following Jesus when I was a teenager. Through that church background, I had a pretty good handle on two-thirds of the Trinity, the Father and the Son. It's pretty good batting average, but, you know, we want to get all three in there. I had absolutely no framework for the Holy Spirit or the work of the Holy Spirit. And that particularly came to light in the fall of 1992 when I entered college. And I started making some friends that came from what we might call more charismatic church backgrounds. That gave more emphasis to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so, for example, one of my roommates was a great guy named Dan that had recently become a Christian through a small little charismatic church in his hometown. And I was really eager to get to know Dan and talk about our shared faith in Jesus. But the more that we talked, the more that I realized, man, we used really different language to talk about some of our experiences. I remember one day in particular, Dan made an offhand comment. He just said something like this. He says, "Yeah, I think God's been telling me to do such and such." I don't even remember what the detail was, but I didn't get any farther than him saying, "God told me." I like immediately in my mind, I think, who does this guy think he is? Like Moses? You know? I mean, like, God doesn't talk to people. I mean, that was like hundreds and thousand years. I mean, my little Lutheran brain was just blowing up. This difference of experience. God doesn't talk to people. But Dan wasn't my only friend that came from more of a charismatic church background. It seemed that nearly every person, every new connection that I made those first few months of college was with somebody that not only followed Jesus, but also was really into the Holy Spirit. For a number of weeks, I did not know what to do with these students. I alternated between wanting to become more like them or wanting to run away as fast as I could in the opposite direction, like get away from these crazy people. Along with that, our conversations brought up a ton of questions for me. Again, like, I had no framework for this. Like, you know, I knew a lot about the Father's love, about Jesus' work on the cross, but I just did not have a grid for the work of the Holy Spirit. And so thankfully, a good friend noticed me wrestling with these questions. And knowing that I had a deep respect for the Bible, here's what she did. She encouraged me to read everything that the Bible had to say about the Holy Spirit. And then start to make some decisions about what I thought. And so in the following months, I did end up having some really powerful and brand new experiences of the Holy Spirit. But those occurred as I increasingly became convinced, particularly through the scriptures, that this work of the Holy Spirit, that it was for today and that it was for me. That's so much of what we want to go at in this series. We want to look at what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit so that can inform the experiences maybe that we've already had. But also, as we get more understanding, it can open us up to more frequent and more powerful experiences, these encounters with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's what we want to go at tonight. Why don't you go ahead and grab a Bible. We're going to take a look at a scripture in Acts chapter 1. I think it's on page 743 in the Bibles that we've got in our seats there. And as you're turning there, let me go ahead and ask God for his help along these lines. God, again, we're just so grateful to be together tonight. Thank you that we can look at your word, we can learn. And God, that it isn't just about our heads, that our hearts can be touched and we can step into brand new experiences. And so, God, we just are really trusting you tonight. And God, even for this remainder of this series, that as we learn some things, God, that can open us up to drawing closer to you and experiencing more of what you have for us. So we say, come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So right at the beginning of the book of Acts, chapter 1. Apostle Luke writes this: "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. After his suffering, Jesus presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" So here in Acts 1, it describes this time period after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and just before Jesus was ascending to heaven on this 40-day period later, he instructed his disciples to do something very specific. He instructed them to wait in Jerusalem, promising that they were going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you'd like taking notes, you can pull out the little section that we've got in the middle of your program. We're going to look at four questions about this topic. What is this thing, this baptism of the Holy Spirit? Secondly, who can be filled with the Holy Spirit? We're going to talk about what happens when someone is filled with the Holy Spirit. And then finally, how can we experience being filled with the Holy Spirit even tonight? Okay? And so let's dive into that first question. What is this thing, this baptism of the Holy Spirit? Again, in verse 5, it says that John baptized with water. Jesus says, but in a few days, you're going to experience a different kind of baptism, that you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In our day, when we reference this word, when we hear this word baptism or baptized, we merely think of church settings. But the original Greek word baptizo was not a religious term at all. It simply meant to immerse one thing into another. That word was sometimes used to describe a sinking ship, totally immersed in the waters of the sea. Actually, the most common meaning had to do with dyeing cloth. If you think about taking a piece of cloth and then dipping that into the dye, that the cloth would be dipped there, the two would unite, and the cloth would be forever changed. So Jesus and his disciples took this regular word, baptizo, and then used it to describe experiences that we're meant to have in our relationship with God. For example, just a week ago, last weekend was baptism weekend here at the Vineyard. And here's a video from one of our previous ones. It's one of our favorite times here at the Vineyard, where folks that have began a journey of following Jesus follow him into these baptism waters. As Romans 6 says, in water baptism, we are buried with Jesus, identifying with his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too may live live a brand new kind of life. As people are immersed in and then come out of the water, they're signifying this deep change, right? That's what it's all about, right? Being immersed in something and this deep change that's happening in them by being united with Jesus. So that's one kind of baptism, this baptism in water. But tonight we're focusing in on this other thing that Jesus is talking about, this baptism in or of the Holy Spirit, which involves being immersed into the person and the presence of God, uniting our lives with God through the Holy Spirit in such a way that it transforms us and that it makes it impossibly difficult to separate us from God. As we've begun to outline over these past few weeks in starting this series, the Holy Spirit is not some impersonal force like we'd see in Star Wars or, you know, some kind of Eastern thought, okay? Instead, the Holy Spirit is God's personal presence. The Holy Spirit's a person. He's part of the Trinity that God deposits in us as we put our hope in Christ. It's God's personal presence in us that empowers us for every aspect of our lives. And being baptized in the Holy Spirit is one way that we describe these experiences with God, these experiences with the Holy Spirit. But there's other phrases that are used to describe some of these experiences. We might say, as the biblical writers do, that the Spirit came upon them, or that the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. The description that actually is most widely used in the New Testament, and I actually find is the most helpful, is that of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. For example, Ephesians 5:18, the Apostle writes, Apostle Paul writes, "Don't get drunk on wine. Instead, do what? Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." I love this. In the Greek, this phrase is in this really particular tense. It's in the present continuous tense, which means this, that literally what Paul is saying here is saying, be filled and continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit, ongoing and without end, like there's no end point to it. It's meant to be this ongoing experience because we are in constant need of the Holy Spirit's power. And so it's good news that it is constantly, continually available to us. One of the resources that I've been reading in prep for tonight's message is a great book by a pastor from the UK named Simon Ponsonby. And it's called More, and I love the subtitle. It says, "How You Can Have More of the Holy Spirit When You Already Have Everything in Christ." That's worth the price of admission right there. It's a fantastic book. I want to read you a little quote here about how Ponsonby describes what it's like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, "It's a constantly repeatable, deepening experience of God's Spirit who brings a greater revelation of the person and work of Christ, a blazing love for Christ, a greater and more effective empowering witness to Christ, and a transforming conformity to the character of Christ." Do you see how all-encompassing this is meant to be? You know, that being filled with the Holy Spirit, again, it's not just a one-time event. It's not just something that happens once and then it's done. It's meant to be ongoing. And it's meant to significantly shape us. It brings revelation to us about who Jesus is. We grow in our love for Jesus. We're empowered to partner with Jesus. And then we're transformed to become more and more like Christ. All of that happens as we experience more of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's pretty amazing. We'll unpack a little bit more about what this baptism of the Holy Spirit is. But let's move on to our second question. Who's this available to? Who can be filled with the Holy Spirit? Again, as we search the scriptures, it's enlightening to discover that there's actually a wide range of people recorded in the Bible that experience the Holy Spirit. I love the way that Nikki Gumbel summarizes some of the different experiences in the Alpha course. One of the things that he highlights is even in the book of Acts that there were all these different categories of people that had these powerful encounters with the Holy Spirit, including like those that were longing. to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, we see the example of the disciples, that they did what Jesus instructed them to do. They waited. They were longing. They were anticipating this gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had promised. And so that happened on the day of Pentecost. But there was also those that were receptive. In Acts 8, we read the story of these different people, Simon the sorcerer and others, that had believed the good news about Jesus. And then they were like receptive, and they received this work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. So there was those that were longing, those that were receptive, but the Holy Spirit also came on people that were hostile. In that same section in Acts 8 and then into Acts 9, where they read the story of this guy named Saul that was actually persecuting early Christians. He was killing people. And on the road to Damascus, God intervened in his life in such a powerful way, gave him this revelation of who Jesus is. And right after that, what happened? This man that had been hostile to the gospel was filled with the Holy Spirit. We also see that the uninformed are filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 19, John referenced this passage last weekend. It's a really fun little story about some of the early believers in Ephesus. And when Paul had asked them about, you know, what their experience was of coming to Jesus, and he asked them, like, how about the Holy Spirit? He says, well, I don't know. We haven't even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. And so he came alongside them. He laid his hands on them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Finally, Nicky Gumbel talks about how the unlikely, Acts 10, is another great example of this, where some folks that maybe would have been on the outside, typically, they were welcomed in to being filled, receiving the Holy Spirit's in their life. Acts 10, we read how the Holy Spirit came upon some Gentiles as the apostles Peter spoke to them. And it was expanding the scope of the church beyond just Jewish people. In verse 47, Peter marked this new development, saying, surely no one can stand in the way of these people being baptized with water, because they've received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Okay, so, I mean, that's like just a beginning overview. I mean, just a bunch of different wide range of people and experiences. Maybe you can likely identify with at least one of those categories. But here's the deal. If you're still wondering if this Holy Spirit stuff, this ministry, the filling of the Holy Spirit is for you, I've got a couple further tests for you, okay? I want everybody to take your two right, the fingers on your right hand, hold that up, and then put that right here on your wrist, okay? Do you have a pulse? Okay, that's good. That's test number one. Second test, take a deep breath in. Let it out. Did the air go both ways? Okay, you're breathing. Okay, you got a pulse. You're breathing. You are someone that God wants to fill with the Holy Spirit. This is meant for all of us, not just a select few. And that's one of the key themes that's got emphasized in the handout that's for this week. And I don't know if you guys seen these. We've had these every single week. They're available right on the table just outside the auditorium door. Every one of our teachings, it's got a little four-page deal that gives some background to the theme that we're covering for this week. And this one on the baptism of the Holy Spirit includes this really great snippet about how this is really for all of us, and so much more. It says this, that God intends for every Christian, like the early disciples, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And while not everyone may agree on what exactly happens at that moment, it is clear that an overwhelming, empowering experience of God's presence is part of the gift package that God intends for every Christian. Okay, so this is for all of us. It's available to all of us. That's a great segue into our next question. Third of all, what happens? This is available to all of us. What happens? What are some of the things that happens when someone is filled with the Holy Spirit? as that quote alluded to, there's a diversity of perspectives about the Holy Spirit and what it means to be baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. If you go to a whole bunch of different kinds of churches, you may have a whole bunch of different ideas about what this is all about. You know, similar to my upbringing, there can be some segments of the wider church that say that the gifts of the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, filling of the Holy Spirit, died out a long time ago, that those were like tools and experiences that were just meant to get the church off the ground right after Jesus was resurrected and ascended, and they were just they kind of died out, and that was it. And so these churches will tend to emphasize that this biblical truth, like that we get the Holy Spirit when we become Christians, but then kind of emphasize like that's it. You know, that's it. That's all that you get. Or maybe not even knowing quite what to do with the Holy Spirit or what the work of the Holy Spirit is all about. So that's on one end. On the other end of the spectrum, you may have some other people, some other churches that would say that the baptism of the Holy Spirit has to be a definitive secondary experience after coming to Christ that someone must have, and that the sign that this has happened to you, that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, is that you speak in tongues. Okay? And so thankfully, in recent years, there's been less polarizations from kind of those two ends of things from different sections of the church about the Holy Spirit, but it still can be confusing. Let me tell you a little bit about how we approach that here at the Vineyard. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, we believe, is for every follower of Jesus, that this is available to every one of us, but that it can really look different from person to person. We don't see that there's one set pattern that this is going to happen, or one particular gift that proves that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And then secondly, as we think about that every Christian has this deposit of the Holy Spirit in them, just like Simon Ponsonby's book, that you've got everything in Christ, and yet somehow there's more. Yet there's more to experience. This is an ongoing thing for us that we are able to step into more and more. There's multiple fillings, multiple ways that the Holy Spirit wants to come into our lives over and over throughout our life. So again, how do we come to this approach? So much of that, it's rooted in the story of Scripture. Example, consider the diversity of experiences, again, in the book of Acts, that different people had as they encountered the Holy Spirit. If we ask the question, what are some of the things that can happen if someone's filled with the Holy Spirit? We might speak in tongues. That is one of the things that we see. Acts chapter 2, we read this, that the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one of them heard their own language being spoken. So a really cool thing that God had gathered all these people together, and as people were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke in known languages that they didn't know, but other people did. And so these folks that were gathered for this festival were able to hear the good news about Jesus in their own heart language, and they turned to Christ on that day. But it isn't just speaking in tongues. We might also prophesy. Acts 19, we see that when Paul placed his hands on these people in Ephesus, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues, and they also prophesied. They were speaking the words of God in known languages, in regular words. As God put his heart on them, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. Acts 4, we see that we might speak with boldness. After the disciples prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. This may not be the one that you would choose, but here's a really good way that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we're able to persevere in the midst of suffering. There's a powerful story in the book of Acts of this man named Stephen that was stoned to death on the order of the guy that ended up being the Apostle Paul. And it says this, that Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. It was the Holy Spirit's power and presence that allowed Stephen to face this most like intense experience of intense experiences. And he didn't experience this anxiety. Like, he had opened up to the heavens that says, God, I'm yours. We might praise God. In another spot here, we see that while Peter was speaking to them in Acts chapter 10, while Peter was still speaking these words, it says, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished, what? That the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues, and what else? Praising God. Another evidence of the filling of the Holy Spirit. We might also be empowered to lead others to Jesus. Acts 11 says that Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Final one here, and just this beginning list, that we might experience joy. Acts 13 says that the disciples, they were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. This last one is particularly special to me because it's part of my story. One of the things that I didn't share as I began to tell a little bit of my story from young adulthood earlier was there actually was another thing that happened preceding me going to college. I worked at a little Lutheran church camp that summer right before going to college. And mostly I was mowing lawns during the day, during the week. But actually got a chance to be a camp counselor for one of the weeks that summer. And so in that week, one of the things that we would do every night is we'd gather together and one of the pastors would pull out a guitar. That was really radical. And we'd sing these camp songs. Honestly, they were super cheesy, like super cheesy camp songs. But every night as we would sing these songs, like I just sensed like this joy just starting to just well up in me. And eventually, like, by the third or the fourth night, it just was so overwhelming. The final night, I could not take it all in. And I finally grabbed another one of the counselors, pulled her aside and says, can you help me? I don't know what is happening to me. We sing these songs and I just am like overflowing with joy. Like, what is this? And she was so great. She just looked at me and so simply she just said, Brian, that's the Holy Spirit. And like, that's the Holy Spirit? Like this third person in the Trinity that I've read these creeds before. Like, I need to know more about this. So that was so much of what God was doing in me to prep my heart, to meet these friends, to have these new experiences. It came through experiencing abounding joy, being filled with the Holy Spirit in that way. So, I mean, this exhaustive list, that took a little while to read all those scriptures, but this is not an exhaustive list. This does not include everything that can be an expression of the filling of the Holy Spirit. There's countless more things that we could look at. Next weekend, I encourage you to come back. John's going to be preaching from 1 Corinthians about the different gifts of the Holy Spirit, these supernatural ways that the Holy Spirit empowers us, particularly to serve and to love and to minister one another. That's another way that we can experience the filling of the Holy Spirit. Right in between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14 is this what we call the love chapter. That's all about being filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can love like Jesus. If we don't, we can do all these miracles, if we can do all these powerful things, but if we don't have the love of Christ in us, if we're not filled in that way, it's all useless. That's another way that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is key to facing temptations in our lives and overcoming besetting sins and addictions. You are not going to get there just by trying harder. You need the work of the Holy Spirit. I need the work of the Holy Spirit to be transformed on that deep level. Even this weekend, I'm thinking about how much more of the Holy Spirit do we need to be parents, right? Moms, am I right about that? You know, like if we want to do this parenting thing well, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled. There's so many different ways that we can experience the filling of the Holy Spirit. I share a couple of practical examples to kind of just drive this home of like what this means for our lives. One of these, think about the different ways. Eventually it's going to be warm enough by like August 20th that we could swim outside. Okay, maybe in a swimming pool. People have those here. But think about the different ways that you can get into a swimming pool. One person might do a backflip off the diving board, going straight into the deep end, while another person might enter at the other end of the pool, down the steps, then slowly making their way from the shallow end to the deeper waters. It's two very different approaches, but the end result is the same. Both people get wet, right? They're both immersed in the water of the pool. Similarly, think about the different things that can happen when you turn the water on to fill a bathtub. Sometimes there's a spurt at the beginning, like lots of noise as the pipes are moving and the water's moving through that. And then there's other times where the water just flows naturally. It just comes out straight from the get-go. Friends, the whole point is that the tub gets full, right? Not how it gets there. Sometimes it's noisy, sometimes it's quiet. That's the same way with us with being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's lots and lots and lots of different ways for us to experience this. And I think God loves to be creative, to be able to do things that connect with us so personally, so specifically to who we are, so that we can know that He is real. But the end goal is all the same. That we can know His presence and we can be filled with overflowing, to overflowing with everything that He is, filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, I think it's so helpful to remember the baptism of the Holy Spirit doesn't come in one set package. Instead, it can look different from person to person. The scriptures make it very clear that every Christian has the deposit, has the Holy Spirit, and yet somehow there's still more. There's still more for us to experience in Him. Okay, that brings us to our final question for today as we prepare for ministry time. Like, if all of this is true, if this really is for us, how do we get in? How do we experience this filling of the Holy Spirit today, even tonight? Just looking back to a great scripture in Luke 11, verses 9 through 13. Jesus gives this teaching. He says, "So I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers," I might add, "and then which of you mothers, if your son asks for a fish, would you give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? If you then, even though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" To those who ask. How much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And so that's one of the big things that we can do, is we just ask. So that's part of our prayer, like this "Come Holy Spirit" prayer, right? It's like we just ask Him to be real, to come into our lives. We open ourselves up to that. And we take God at His word that He wants to give us more of the Holy Spirit. He wants to fill our lives with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And He just invites us to ask for more of that. Along with that, so often that we take this step to wait. Again, back in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, "Wait for the gift my Father promised." In verse 8, He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." You know, when we wait on the Holy Spirit, it's not because He's slow in getting there. He is not tardy. He's not absent-minded and think, "Oh, I got to get there." The waiting is for us. It's for our hearts to get conditioned and open so that we can be ready to receive what God has for us. And so, like here at the Vineyard, even like when we do prayer ministry, oftentimes what we'll do is we'll check in with somebody and we'll talk to them for a little bit, and then we'll just prep them and say, "I'm going to pray just a quick short little intro prayer, but then we're just going to wait. We're just going to just sit here for a moment, stand here for a moment, and just allow God to just saturate your heart and your mind. So that's just this expression of humility, of surrender. And so often, as we soften our hearts just like that, God just starts to come. His presence comes, just falls on us. Sometimes we begin to weep. Sometimes we, you know, even have physical things that happen to us, where just as the presence of God comes on us, that our bodies can't quite take it. You know, it's like putting your finger in an electric socket. Like, you're going to have some reaction to that. We wait. Third thing that we can do if we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit is just open up to receive. Open up to receive. To receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible seems to record people, one, coming to a place of complete surrender to God, and secondly, having an inexpressible longing for God that just overtakes them. It's like, I just got to get to God. Like, whatever it takes, I got to have who God is and what he has for me. And I just say yes to whatever God has. And so as we close tonight, that's exactly what we want to do. We want to ask. We want to take some time to wait. And I really believe that God's going to just come and fill us, fill a bunch of us in some, maybe some fresh ways, maybe for you, maybe for the very first time that you've experienced some of this, where you can be filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit and just having that unlock some really cool things in your life. So I want to go ahead and invite you to stand, and I'm going to have Brenda join me up here as well, and we're just going to take just a little bit of time to lean into this, invite the Holy Spirit's presence to come, and let's open up to what he has for us tonight. So God, we just thank you for the truth of your word, God, that we're not trying to make this stuff up, like just to have some random powerful experiences. God, this is part of our inheritance. If we surrender to you, if we give our lives to following Jesus, that God, your promise is to deposit the Holy Spirit like in us and to fill us over and over again with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so God, I just want to ask right now, God, would you just come? You're already here, God, but we just ask for more. God, we ask for you to fill us in this room with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit.